I want to start off Sunday school today by asking you a question. I'm going to give you a little quiz here, all right? And see if you can... Now, don't answer out loud, okay? Don't answer out loud. I'm sure some of you will know the answer to this, but I'm thinking about a man in the Bible, and it's not just an individual like David or Moses, but a type of a man. And God has this to say about that man. Now, this is not an individual person. This is a description of a type of a man. And of course, you could apply it to a lady, for sure. But God uses the masculine pronoun here, and he says, I will deliver him. And it's because, the verse starts off with because. Now, I'm going to ask you, in a little bit, who knows where this is, but don't answer out loud. Who knows where this is? And don't get on your phone now and try to find out from the phone. But God says, I will deliver him. Well, I need to be delivered, amen. I get myself into messes and the devil comes after me, and just serving God sometimes can be very exciting and sometimes just a little bit dangerous. I need to be delivered. God says, I will deliver him and I will set him on high. Now earlier, God has talked about some things that could happen to a person, some danger. And God says, I will set him on high. I wonder if he means there, I'll set him on high above the flood, above the danger. I'm not sure exactly what he means, but I know it's something good. I will set him on high. And then he says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I want to be that man. I want to be that man who's able to get my prayers answered. Call upon God and get an answer from God. And it's all because of something that this man has done. And then God says, I will be with him in trouble. I will be with him. Amen to that. We all have trouble. We all have trouble. Man born of woman is few days and full of trouble. And we all have trouble, but I want the Lord to be with me. I don't expect him to deliver me from all trouble. Sometimes God wants us to go through a storm or walk through a valley or fight a battle. And sometimes God's in it. I just want him to be with me. Amen. And God says, this man, because of what he's done, I will be with him in trouble. And then he says again, I will deliver him. Now, don't answer out loud, but anybody know where I am in the Bible? Okay, don't tell anybody yet, okay? You may be wrong, but all right, one or two, they know where I am. Think about it now. And he says, I will deliver him again and honor him. Now here's Almighty God saying, I will honor this man. Can I say to you today, don't honor yourself. Don't promote yourself. Don't exalt yourself. Don't do that. I mean, in life, whatever it is, in the church, don't try to promote yourself. Let God do the promoting. He knows when you need to be promoted. He knows when you need to go to maybe another stage, maybe even a more intensified stage of service. God knows. You may think you're ready. You may not be ready. But God says, I will honor him. And if God honors you, my friend, God knows how to do that. And then he says this, with long life will I satisfy him. With long life will I satisfy him. I was reading after Charles Spurgeon, and what he had to say about this verse. And he said, God will let this man live just as long as he's supposed to live and just as long as he will be satisfied with. Because, you know, sometimes you do hear about a David Brainerd or, you know, some great servant of God, Jim Elliot, and it seemed like they left this life prematurely. But I'll tell you, they lived as long, if they were in the will of God, they lived as long as God wanted them to live, and they left here satisfied. Spurgeon said, it's as if they ate a meal and they were satisfied and they wanted no more. And God said, all right, it's time to come home. But God says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God says, I'll show this man my salvation. And you say, well, I've already seen salvation. I've already been saved. But would you agree with me? There are different kinds of salvation. There really are. There's the salvation of the soul. Thank God. I know about that. I've been saved. But sometimes I need to be saved out of temptation. Sometimes I need to be saved out of a satanic attack. And sometimes I may need to be saved physically. And I know for sure God has saved our lives as we've been traveling. God has saved our lives. One night I think we were in Colorado, and I was having a lot of trouble with the car. It was not running smooth. And there was something wrong with the tire, and I kept crippling along and thinking, I got to make it to the next town. It was in the middle of the night, way up in the night anyway. And something was wrong. When I got out finally to check that tire, there was only one lug nut left. All the others had been knocked off, cut off by this tire that was just wobbling. And we were going over mountains. And God protected us, no doubt. And you say, well, you must be pretty dumb. I'll confess I am to go on. But I kept trying to make it to that next town. Finally, I did make it, being pulled by a record, you know. But God has saved us so many times. I'll show him my salvation. All right now. By the way, I just gave you a clue of where we are when I said I read after Charles Spurgeon on this verse. Because Spurgeon has an entire book on the Psalms. That's where I am. I'm in the book of Psalms. And does anybody know, you want to take it? You're exactly right. I'm going to give this woman a cash prize here. Amen. She got it right. Would you come up here and get this for her and take this to her? This is a cash prize. You go out and get your... You told her, well, let me give this man a prize. This guy's a ventriloquist. I didn't even see his lips move. All right. I'm in Psalm 91. Turn there with me. Psalm 91, which is, oh, what a psalm it is. What a psalm for the day we're living in. This is a psalm. In fact, I was reading this psalm, reading comments on this psalm by Spurgeon, and he said, one German doctor said this psalm is the best medicine that he knew of in the time of a plague. And it is great medicine. This is wonderful medicine to read this psalm. And you know, it starts out, verse number one, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you know, that verse, that is not a promise. What we read in this psalm is not a promise for everybody. It's not a promise even for every child of God. The promises we find here in this psalm are promises for the child of God that has drawn close to God. And they're not just dropping in once in a while into the presence of God. They're living in the presence of God. And they're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. By the way, most people who have really studied this psalm believe it was written by Moses. He wrote the one before it, no doubt about it. His name's attached to Psalm 90. And a lot of people believe that Psalm 91 was also written by Moses. And think about it, the secret place of the Most High. Moses is the first one that knew about that Holy of Holies and that Shekinah glory of God that appeared over the mercy seat and those cherubims with their wings outspread and the shadow that must have been in that place. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now thank God, you know, back in the Old Testament, only one man could go into that Holy of Holies, that secret place. One man, the high priest with blood. But today, the veil of the temple has been rent when Jesus died. And the Lord says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He welcomes us to come into his presence today and live in his presence. And so these promises in Psalm 91, I'm not really going to teach a lot more about this psalm. I just wanted you to see where we are, Psalm 91. By the way, verse number 11 is that great, great chapter, that great verse in the Bible that even the devil knows. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Verse number 11, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, I had no intention whatsoever of telling this story, but I'm going to tell it. We just came from Pennsylvania. And you know, Pennsylvania, they've got a hard to live with governor there. But this church that we were in, Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, this church decided we're going to open up anyway and have service. And they not only had service, they had a Bible conference. And nobody bothered them. No police came. Nobody bothered them. We had 17 preachers there and had a great Bible conference. One of those preachers is a man named Johnny Jones out of West Virginia. I mean, you picture a mountain man. Picture his beard. And just a man that pastors a church in Oceana, West Virginia, in the mountains, had been a coal miner. There's something about coal miners. And Johnny Jones was there. Not a big man, about this tall. But I'll tell you what, he's a little man with a big voice, that's for sure. He can roar like a lion when he gets to preaching. And he comes right out where you are while he's preaching. Walks up and down the aisles, and sometimes gets right in somebody's face and gives them a truth. And Johnny Jones did not volunteer to tell this story, but the pastor of the church we were in asked Brother Jones to come and tell this story. And he said that one day he was on a tractor up behind his house, and he said somehow that tractor turned over. And he said, I fell off the tractor and it rolled over me. And it pushed something into his stomach, and he was bleeding badly. And he said his wife was not home and nobody was around. And he said, I was there. He said, a peace came over me. I thought, if this is death, I'm ready. If this is death, I'm ready to go. He said, I even, while I was there, thinking that I was going to die, began to just think about the Lord. And did he say he even sang some hymns? But he was waiting, I guess, for death. And he said the thought came to his mind, well, you've got a cell phone. But he said, we never have reception. Where we live, in those mountains, we don't have reception. But he said, I tried it. And he said, I had reception. And he said, I called 911. And then he said, I called my son. And he said, it's going to be hard for me to tell you where I am. Up on a ridge behind his house. But they came, they found him. And they brought in a helicopter. And that helicopter took off. It had a pilot and a woman, EMT, trying to keep him alive. And Brother Johnny Jones, and my friend, listen, he's the kind of man, he's pastored for I don't know how many years. In fact, I got to hear his son preach. His son's a cross between a man and a panther when he preaches. If you ever heard a panther cry out, I'm telling you. But as far as I know, his children are serving God. He's been a man of God all these years. I don't believe you could pay him enough money to tell a lie or even exaggerate. He said as they flew through the air, that EMT almost fell backward and said, oh my God, I hate to use the name of God like that, but that's what she said. She said, oh my God, there's an angel standing over you. And said the helicopter pilot looked around and said, it is an angel. And he said, I never saw it. But they said, he called it translucent, said you could see right through it, standing right over him. And when they got him to the hospital, God did spare his life, and they began to tell other people about it. Nobody else saw it. But I thought about that. He shall give his angels charge over thee. I have no doubt there have been angels close to me, watching over me, delivering me. I never saw them, and nobody else did. But there are stories where people say they've seen the angels. That was not my message, and I've used 5 minutes of my time. But I love that story. You know, if I can't be a good preacher, I can tell a good story anyway. Amen. Johnny Jones. I hope you get to hear him preach sometime. But, you know, it's all this is written. The psalmist is telling us what will be the result if we will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, how God will take care of us. Verse 5 says, "Thou shalt not be afraid." Oh, fear has gripped our nation. Fear is our worst enemy right now. Coronavirus is not our worst enemy at all. It's fear that has gripped our nation. And my friend, more than ever, we need to get in this psalm and introduce others to this psalm. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." But when we come to verse number 14 of this psalm, God himself is speaking. God is speaking in the first person here and saying, "Because he hath set his love upon me." Who is he? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. This one that has said, "I want to be near God. I want to walk with God. I want to get up in the morning, start my day with God. I want God to be with me all day. I pray. I read the Bible. If I can't read the Bible, I listen to the Bible while I'm going down the road." He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, God says, "Because he has set his love upon me." Notice that. That's what the man did to deserve all these things God said that he would do for this man. That's the simple thing that he did. He set his love upon God. That's something every one of us can do. Everyone in this building today, we can set our affection on God. We can set our love upon God. We can determine, "I'm going to love God. I'm going to strive to love God. I'm going to pray to love God. I'm going to study the Bible to love God. I'll read this Bible as a love letter from God. I want to love God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength." And God says, "Because he hath set his love upon me, I'll do all this for him. I'll deliver him. I'll set him on high. I'll honor him. I'll answer his prayers. I'll take care of him because he set his love upon me." I want you to turn now to Psalm 116. In case you haven't noticed, I love the Psalms. When I get up in the morning, I go to the Psalms. I go there, I read some in Psalms. It just does something for me. I recommend it to you. I read some in Psalms. I may not read a lot. I may not read a whole chapter. But I read some. Somebody asked R.G. Lee, that great preacher of yesterday that preached Payday Someday. They said, "Brother Lee, I know you read the Bible every day. How long do you read?" He said, "I read it till my heart burns." Amen. Until I get that holy heartburn from God, I read my Bible. And I'd recommend go to the Psalms. Then I go to Proverbs and read a few Proverbs and say, "God, give me wisdom." And I like to read some in the Old and some in the New Testament. But I always go to the Psalms. I love the Psalms. And this Psalm 116 is one of my all-time favorite Psalms. I love this. I tried to memorize it. And when you're my age, you can memorize something, but you can't always keep it there. But I did memorize this at one time. Thank you for that witness there. But I keep on trying to memorize, and I've got a lot of it hidden in my heart. But notice it says in Psalm 116, "I love the Lord." If you can say those words today and mean it, you are blessed. If you can say those words today and mean it, hey, my friend, if you can say those words as a man today and your wife knows that you mean it, you're blessed. Ladies, if you can say those words, "I love the Lord," and your husband nods his head and says, "That's right, she does," you are blessed. Mom and dad, if you can say that, "I love the Lord," and your children say, "Well, they do. My mom and dad love the Lord." What a testimony, what a wonder. I don't know anything better that could be said about me or about you today than for somebody to say, "He loves the Lord. She loves the Lord." I do love the Lord. I want to love him more. I pray that I might love him more. When I read over in Deuteronomy, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart," not some of thine heart, with all thine heart. and with all thy soul, not just some of your soul, but all of your soul, and with all of thy might. And Jesus sort of expanded on that in the New Testament when a scribe said, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus went right back to Deuteronomy 6 and said, with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Jesus said, there's no commandment greater than that. Loving the Lord. Think about it. If there's no commandment greater than that, what is the greatest sin? What is the greatest sin that a person can commit? Would it be not loving God? Not loving God, if to love God is the greatest commandment? He says in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Here's a man saying, I love the Lord, and here's why. As a matter of fact, I don't have time to spend a lot of time to spend on this psalm, but let me give you a challenge. Take Psalm 116 and read it every day this week. Read it every day this week with this in mind. The first part, the first 8 verses are reasons why we ought to love the Lord. Reasons why. And then the last, starting at verse number 12, are the results of loving the Lord. When you love the Lord, something's going to happen. When you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, at least that's your goal, my friend, there'll be a power in your life. And you will be effective in the work of God. God will bless you and some things will happen. And there will be some results of that. Think about this. The reasons why we ought to love the Lord. He's answered our prayers. He's heard our voice. Think of all the voices that there are in this world today. All the voices. And God hears everything. God hears it all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And the ears of the Lord are in every place. And He hears the evil and He hears the good. And out of all the voices and all the noises that God hears, He hears my voice. And He heard my voice when I called out to Him as a 15-year-old boy and said, Lord, save my soul. He heard me. And all ever since then, now for 50 years, I told you that last time I was here, I believe I've been saved now 50 years. And all these years, He's heard my voice. And because of that, I love the Lord. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me. It says in verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. You say, Brother Epley, what do you have to do to find trouble and sorrow? Just live. Just live, my friend. Trouble will find you. Sorrow will come your way. Without a doubt, there's nobody in here who has escaped trouble. Nobody in here who has escaped sorrow in this life. We won't do it. But He said, when trouble and sorrow comes, here's what we need to do. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. In verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. And I love this. Right after He says, I'll call on the name of the Lord, the very next word that we see in verse number 5 is gracious. Gracious is the Lord. He's full of grace. He's full of grace. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Brother, when we put our cause in the hands of God, it's in the hands of a God who always does right. He always does right. He cannot do wrong. He's a righteous God. Yea, our God is merciful. I did something in Slippery Rock that I've never done before. I preached a whole message when it came my turn to preach. In that meeting, I preached a whole message on mercy. God told me to. Saturday night, God led me that way. Preach on mercy. You know what? I only scratched the surface of the mercy of God that we find in the Bible. I mean, that Psalm 136, every verse ends with His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. He never runs out of mercy. He never runs out of grace. What a God. And when trouble comes, go to Him and rest on Him and trust in Him. And then it says in verse 7, return to thy rest, O my soul. Well, it says in verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. And in verse number 8, it talks about how he's delivered us. He delivered. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Wow. A lot of great reasons to love the Lord. We find those reasons in the first part of this psalm. And then it seems like we turn a corner in verse number 12. And the man, instead of telling all that God has done, he begins asking a question in verse number 12. What can I do for the Lord? What can I do for the Lord? Verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I give unto the Lord? What can I give the Lord? He's been so good to me. All of his benefits toward me. Oh, brother, you talk about benefits. When you serve God, when you put yourself in the will of God and you determine, I'm going to do the will of God come what may, that's all I want to do in life is I just want to do the will of God. God will bless you in every way. God will bless you spiritually. He'll bless you physically. He'll bless you mentally. He'll bless you financially. He'll take care of you in every way. God will take care of you. God will bless your life when you say, I'm going to go with God all the way and do all that God wants me to do. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Now I want you to know, if you don't mind marking in your Bible, look at verse number 13. It starts out with I will. Underline those two words, I will. And then in verse number 14, I will. Underline those two words, I will. And then in verse number 17, I will. And right in the middle of that verse, you find another will. And then in verse number 18, I will. All these verses reveal to us a willing servant. Someone who's willing to serve God. And they're willing to serve God because they realize the great love of God. They have fallen in love with God. This person has fallen in love with God. And don't ever forget, my friend, the only reason we love God is He first loved us. Amen. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. Here's a man that loves the Lord. Or you ladies certainly can apply it. What can I give to the Lord? What can I do for the Lord? I've been in churches before. Maybe you have too. The pastor says, I need something done. I need somebody to do a job. And nobody raises their hand. Nobody says, I'll do that. And there's so much that goes undone in Christianity today because there are not that many willing servants. Willing to do anything, whatever God wants done. But here's a man saying, I will. I will. I'll take the cup of salvation in verse number 13 and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pray and I'll call upon God and do that. In verse number 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I'll pay my vows. I'll do what I said I would do because I love the Lord. And in verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Amen. I'll thank God. I'll praise God. You say, brother, sometimes I just don't feel like thanking the Lord. Sometimes I don't feel like praising the Lord. That's when it's a sacrifice. He said, I'll offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And will call upon the name of the Lord. And then he says it again in verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. And look where he winds up in verse number 19. This man who starts out with I love the Lord. Look where we find him in verse 19. In the courts of the Lord's house. In the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Here he is in the house of the Lord. And brother, when you love God, that's where you want to be. Amen. There's no place like home. There's no place like home, and there's no place like the house of God. If you love the Lord, I don't know how we stood it, do you? I don't know. Our church did like, I don't know how you did it, but we went to the internet services for a while, and even then some of our people would go ahead and come. Our pastor wouldn't mention it, but sometimes when they said only 10, there were 50 people out there. But I don't know. I don't know how we survived, but we did, and we're back. Praise God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's a good place to say amen. You just missed it, some of you. Amen. Well, I just wanted to introduce you. That's all I've got time to do, introduce you to this psalm and challenge you to read this psalm every day. Let it become a part of you and recognize all these reasons why. Somebody wrote an old song, so many reasons why I love the Lord. So many reasons I can't count them. So many reasons why I trust His word. So many reasons I can't count them. And there are so many. I want you to go to this psalm. And before we close today, I want to ask you this. Do you love the Lord as much as you once did? Do you love Him as much as you ever did? Was there ever a time in the Lord that you loved the Lord more than you love Him now? Was there ever a time in your life when you were closer to the Lord than you are now? And you know, some people say, "Oh, I'm close to the Lord. You know, I'm right with God, and everything's all right. I'm going to church. I'm here, aren't I?" And you know, they talk like that, but. You know, I do have a couple of minutes. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. There were some people in the days of Ezekiel who said they loved the Lord, but it didn't turn out that they really did. And God revealed that to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 31. It'd be good to jot this passage down beside Psalm 116. And as you're reading through Psalm 116, say, "Lord, help me not to be." I want to be a Psalm 116 Christian. I don't want to be an Ezekiel 33, 31 a Christian. Because here's what they were like in Ezekiel 33, 31. God said in verse number 30, He said, "Ezekiel, there are people who are talking against thee. By the walls and in the doors of the houses, they talk against you." They're speaking against the man of God. They're speaking against the word of God. And in verse 31, He said, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them." Here's why. "For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." What a verse. What a revelation. And to think that there are people like that, even in our Baptist churches, who come and sit and they hear the word of God, but they're not going to do it. Because with their mouth they show much love. They can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But their heart is going after their covetousness. Their heart is going after their own will and their own way and their own desires. And they work God into their schedule. Oh yeah, they set aside a little bit of time, you know, out of the 168 hours that God gives us in a week. They set aside maybe a couple of hours to go to the house of God and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And then live the rest of the week for themselves and go after their own covetousness, what they want. And I just, one day that verse just jumped out at me. People who say, "I love the Lord." But don't ever forget, my friend, you can leave your first love. I mean, it happened to a great church, and not just an individual. Listen, Blessed Hope Baptist Church could leave its first love. It happened in Revelation. It happened in the book of the church at Ephesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ, with eyes as a flame of fire because he sees everything, said, I have somewhat against thee. You've got this that's good, this is good, this is good, and this is good. But I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. And it was so serious that the Lord said, if you don't repent and go back and do the first works, Jesus said, I'll remove the candlestick. I'll take the church away. And you know, you could go there today, you won't find a church where that church was. You can leave your first love. And I say this, worldliness will weaken your love for God. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. My friend, worldliness, the things of this world, and brother, have they ever crept in? Crept in through the television, crept in through the phones, crept in through the internet, crept in and through music in so many ways today. You know, we got God's people, God's born again people. Some of them are listening to country music. You know what country music will do? It'll make you love the world. It'll feed your appetite for the world. And it will lessen, it will weaken, it will make cold your love for God. It will. It'll take away that hot love for God, the love of this world. You say, I thought this was Sunday school. You're preaching. Amen. I'm going to preach a little bit more later. Amen. Thank you for your attention. I didn't see anybody sleeping. I didn't see anybody that wasn't paying attention. You may be out there, but I didn't see you. And thank you for paying attention today. I want to challenge you. Psalm 116, do it. Take that challenge and read it every day and see if it doesn't just be a blessing to your soul. Father, thank you so much for Sunday school. Thank you for those who are here. And Lord, thank you that we can be here in the house of the Lord. And I pray you'd help every one of us to love you more. Lord, there's always room for improvement. We can always get a little bit closer. Surely we can. And I pray you'd help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.